Exodus 19. Anything in here that you saw that you wanted to talk about? Third, so let's see, today is October 24th. What were you doing 3 months ago? Right? That put us in July, end of July. How many of you can remember what you were doing then? There you go. 90 days. Think about it. 3 months. It sometimes seems like so far away, doesn't it? But, I mean, 90 days is not a long time. They have left Egypt. They have crossed the bed of the Red Sea, dry land. They have seen their enemies defeated. Bread, basically, right? Manna. Falling from heaven. In the morning, they come out and it's on the ground. Quail, all the meat they could eat. God has blessed them. Water. They say, we don't have water. We'll put a tree in the water. Oh, it's good now. We don't have any water now. We moved on. Well, tap the rock and the water will come out. They're just big events after big event. Just big stuff. And now we reach the Sinai, the mountain. And this is where most of our recollection goes, to Sinai, right? I mean, we have it on the wall, the Ten Commandments. Plain if it's not on the courthouse wall. You know, this is that big event that tells us what we're supposed to do, that tells us who God is and what He expects. Third month. How long does it take us to lose our gratitude when God brings us through the Red Sea and destroys the Egyptian army that's chasing us? How long does it take us to forget the victories? You know, I look around the room and I know there's some answered prayers in this room. God's answered some prayers. And yet, against the next, you know, poisoned water, and we say, oh, where's God? God, I need you now more than ever. No, I think you needed him pretty bad. See? But he answered it, and he answers it again, and he answers it again. And that's where God is. We can't have this forgetfulness and ingratitude that is so common. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they to the wilderness of Sinai. They were departed from Rephidim, were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount, and went up unto God. The Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wing and brought you to myself. I mean, just in your mind, just imagine Sinai. What's that? What? Okay. Look at Sinai. What does it look like? Desert. Rock. Sand. And you look at it, right? The real estate agent walks up and says, this is the place. And you look around and you say, what's here? God. God says, I brought you on eagle's wings unto me. But he had to get them away from everything else. Isn't that quite a lesson? Because as long as there's a football game to go to, or a baseball game, or a basketball game, or a hockey game, or a tennis match, or a race, or rodeo, I don't want to leave anybody out. As long as there's something to do, somewhere to go, some party, some dinner, some barbecue, some beach, as long as there's some thing to do, somewhere to go, sometimes it's hard for God to get our attention. By the way, not just that, as long as there's work to be done. How many of us ever feel guilty for not for taking a day off, for not doing anything. Man, we look around and say, well, I got so much I could be doing. And you think of all the things you want to do, and then you think of all the things you got to do. And you have to balance it out somewhere, don't you? Tomorrow, right? What did God do? God brought them out into the middle of the desert where there's nothing to do. And now that there's nothing to do, do I have your attention yet? Right now that there's nowhere to go, no one to talk to, nothing to do, now that there's no work, now here we are, do I have your attention? God said, I brought you to myself. Verse 5. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. What is God saying to them? God says, I could be anywhere with anyone right now, but I choose to be with you. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Guys, remember that for Valentine's Day, all right? That's what God said. You will be a peculiar treasure unto me. He said, I could have chosen anyone. I chose you. All the earth is mine. Verse 6, ye shall be a kingdom of priests. What does that mean? A kingdom of priests. I know y'all know this. Okay, the guiding light for the world. Ministers. Okay. Equal responsibility. Shared burden. A prophet represents God to man. And a priest represents man to God. We're the ones in the middle. We are the ones who take the burdens of the people and say, God, can you help my friend? Isn't that our job as a priest? God, can you help my family? God, have mercy, forgive sin. The job of a priest to ask God's forgiveness and mercy and grace. You shall be a kingdom of priests. Now, you know, as you look forward in the tabernacle and in the temple, they had priests, didn't they? Right? We had the tribe of Levi, the Levitical priesthood. But he said, everybody's a priest. Manoah, y'all know who Manoah is? Homework. All right? Zechariah, remember him? These men who would leave their home, their village, and they would come and serve in the temple as a priest praying before God. Zechariah went in there to pray, and he was doing his service, and the Lord said, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. John? That's not very Jewish. And that was his reply. Yeah, that's his name. Okay. That's his name. But these are the, you know, we look at these men as they go in and serve in the temple for their service, their time, their duty. And man, they looked forward to it. That was a big thing. And they finally were old enough to go in and serve in the temple. And they would, a priesthood, even though he would only have one little turn at it, the idea is that everyone is a priest. That every one of us is to serve God. That every one of us is to be devoted. That every one of us is supposed to represent the people to God. And to teach. Verse 7, Moses came and called for the elders. Verse 8, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken to you. Yes. 90 days ago we were slaves in Egypt. And now we're free people. Absolutely. Whatever God wants, we're surrendered to it. By the way, there's nothing else to do out here. We'll do whatever God wants. And that's the reason God brings us to those points in our lives. Think about Job. What did Job do when he began to have such loss in his life? He looked at God and he said, God, I don't know what I did, but whatever it is, show it to me and I'll repent. Whatever it is I'm doing wrong, I'll repent. Just show me what it is. Tell me what it is. I know there's got to be something. But he became very sensitive to God, didn't he? He became very much of a seeker, searching for God's will, searching for God's heart, and searching his own life to see what he had done wrong. So when we start going through stuff, again, you know, air conditioners break, cars break, stuff burns, and people get sick, and, you know, you get sick, don't say, well, God did this to me. No, sometimes it's our diet, sometimes it's our genetics, and sometimes it's the exposures of our job or whatever. We point it at God and say, God did this. Don't do that. But look to God and say, God, is this in my life for a reason? Are you trying to teach me something? And learn if he's got something for us in that moment, in that season. They said, we'll do whatever God wants us to do. Verse 9, the Lord said unto Moses, I come to thee, verse 9, in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee. God said, I want them to know this is not just some man up on a mountain having some vision, you know, some hallucination, and coming down and giving them instructions. Which, by the way, I don't know if you realize it, but there are religions, worldwide religions, based on some guy having hallucinations. Ideas, and he wrote a book, and now there are lots of people that follow those ideas. God says, I want the people to hear me talk to Moses, so they won't think he's just out of his mind. They'll hear me speak. Verse 10, the Lord says, sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. God says, tell them, get ready. This is an event. This is like an occasion. One of the kids asked me this morning, why do you wear a tie to church? Well, because I'm the preacher. Right? And I'm not saying every preacher's got to wear a tie. This is what I do. And that's, so it's no reflection on anybody else. This is what I do. God says to Moses, you tell them we're having an occasion on the third day, and I want them to get ready for it. Tell them, wash their clothes. Tell them, clean up. What does that mean to you? What was God doing? Okay, trying to get rid of their sin. Okay, a ritual like baptism. Okay, cleansing themselves. I mean, that's what he said, sanctify, like baptism. Okay. To build anticipation. That they would look forward to something. Here they are in the desert, and God says, we're going to have something, get ready. I want you to get ready. I'm going to give you 3 days to get ready. All right, there was no place to go out and buy new shoes. The good news is their shoes never went bad. Their clothes fit the whole time since they left Egypt. Their shoes fit the whole time. But he gave them something to anticipate, a hope. How many of you are looking forward to something, some occasion, some event? Anybody want to share what it is? Going to the mountains. All right. How many of you want to go to the mountains? All right. How much room you got? Right? Sounds great. Going to the mountains. We look forward to that. Somebody else? Going to South Carolina? Alabama? All right. Going to a wedding? So we look forward, don't we? Get our hair done. Make sure we got the right shoes, right clothes. That's what God is doing. God is building them up. Something's going to happen. I want you to get ready. Is that how we are for Sunday? Sunday, we look forward to it. We anticipate it. Something good is going to happen. Boy, we get excited about going to church. Just like Chloe. We have school today? No, we have church. Oh. Now, when she gets here, she loves it. She has a great time. But it's just that idea that she's just not free to do whatever she wants to do. It loses her every time. He gave them something to look forward to. In the desert, get ready. Sanctify yourself. Remove the soil. Remove the dust. Get cleaned up. You see, it was a reason for them to fix the... How many of you feel better when you fix yourself up? Yeah. I mean, look, jeans and a t-shirt are comfortable. But I'll tell you something, I walk differently when I'm in a suit. When I'm wearing a tie, it's different. There's something different about it. And not just that, people look at you differently. They do. Again, not that I'm trying to get everybody to look at me, but when there's a difference. I mean, if you're going to go out on a date, don't you fix yourself up? Even if it is with your... All right, we get ready. It's makeup. I always think it's interesting. I always find it interesting. Let me say it this way. We get ourselves all fixed up to go to work and come home and put on a t-shirt. It's got a big hole in it. Isn't that interesting? God gave them a reason to look forward to it. Gave them something to anticipate. All right. Anyway, so be ready against the third day. Verse 12, God says, set bounds to the people round about, saying, take heed not up to the mount or to touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. God says, we're going to, don't get on this mountain. Don't touch it. Have you ever told somebody not to do something? How many of you think there was somebody who got right up close to it and looked at it, tried to figure out how can I touch it without getting in trouble? It's what kids do, isn't it? Grown-ups do it too. Ladies, little advice. If you don't want your husband to do something, don't tell him he can't. Because then he will find a way to do it. Find it. Find a way to communicate it without saying. And it works out better. He said, don't touch the mountain. Verse 13, he said, there's going to be a trumpet, sounds long. Then they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down. He told the people, they sanctified. They washed their clothes. And verse 15, he said, and come not at your wives. You see that in verse 15? He said, I want you focused on me. And this was something that was very common in the priesthood. In the priesthood. He made sure that when they were coming into service that their mind was on serving God. They weren't in the flesh, in lust. They weren't battling that. Verse 16, it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. A force, undeniable force. It says in verse 18, Sinai was altogether in a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. The smoke thereof is the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Like a volcano, isn't it? Just rumbling, the ground rumbling. Lightning and thunder and smoke. Verse 21, and the Lord said to Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through to the Lord to gaze. Just curiosity. Just want to see it. And God said, no, what is this? This is where God's going to talk. So the people can hear it. That's the whole point. It's to Moses. Verse 23, Moses said to the Lord, you like this? Moses went up to God. God says, Moses, go down and tell the people don't touch the mountain. Don't come up here and gaze at me. And Moses said, God, you told them not to do it. You already told them not to do it. They can't do that. You already told them they couldn't. God says, get thee down, thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest, the people, break through to come up. So Moses has this confidence that the people will obey because the law has been given. Right? Don't touch the mountain. Don't come up on the mountain. One rule. Don't touch the fruit. Don't eat the fruit in the garden. All the other trees, all the other fruit, have all you want. One tree. Don't eat it. That's the only rule. Didn't work out, did it? Why? Because we're lawbreakers. The point of the law is to expose us as rebels, to expose our weakness in discipline and self-control. Chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Y'all ever been to a political rally or watched one on TV? They introduce whoever, and everybody stands and roars, yay! Because that's all that shows up is got people that like them, right? God, there's lightning and thunder, smoke and fire, earthquake, and the people are watching all of this. Moses comes down from being with God, and God says, I am the Lord your God. What happened? Did the people clap? Did the people say, yay, that's our God? Is that what they did? Think about this. Really, that's God. Who would have cheered if Jesus came today here in the flesh? If Jesus showed up, we say, the Lord's going to preach. Would we be excited when he took the stage? All that energy, all that force, all that power, and God speaks to them, speaks to Moses so that they can hear it. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or that is in earth or that is in the water. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Third and fourth generation. What are we doing to the third and the fourth generation? What are we doing to our heritage? I hope the next verse tells what we are doing to our heritage. Verse 6, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. That's the idea. I don't want to be in verse 5. I want to be in verse 6, don't you? I don't want my children and my grandchildren, if I ever get any. We just keep having children. We don't. I want that third and that fourth generation to be in verse 6, not in verse 5. Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You ever think about that? Anybody ever hear anybody take the Lord's name in vain? Very often. Verse 3. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Here we are. God says, I want you to take a day off. I want you to rest. I want you to have a day in Sinai. where there's rocks and sand and nothing to do and nowhere to go and no schedule, no activity. You just need a day in Sinai every week. A Sabbath day in the presence of God. 6 days shalt thou labor, do all thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not is and rested the seventh day. Where blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. Number 5, verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor them. What does that mean to you? To honor them. Respect. Obey. Respect. Obey. Okay. Fear. Caring for. Okay. Taking care of them. I like fearful. So loving, obeying, taking care of them. How about making them proud? You ever think of that? How do we honor our parents? By showing them that their investment in our lives when we counted, that they did something, that they've accomplished through their children, the things that maybe they couldn't accomplish. Make them proud. Honor them. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 13, number 6, thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet. Now, obviously, the Ten Commandments, but when we think about how to honor God and serve God and do right, there's more, right? There's more to it than that. But as a basic premise, the Ten Commandments teach us about relationships. That the commandments protect me from you and you from me. Right? And me from myself. They protect us if we obey them. And God is saying this, and the people are gathered around the mountain. And Moses had come down to talk to the people, and so God is talking to Moses in front of the people. And they hear it. They hear the thundering and the lightning, verse 18. And the noise of the trumpet and the smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed themselves and stood afar off. They didn't want to be so close. They backed away. Verse 19, they said to Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear. Let not God speak with us lest we die. They were so intimidated by the awesome display of the power of God that they said, let us remove ourselves. You talk to God and then come talk to us. It's an interesting attitude because I don't know about you, but I want to be able to talk to God. Don't you? I need to tell God some things I don't want to tell them, so they can tell him. Right? I don't really need anybody in between. I know Jesus is the mediator, but I really don't need anybody else to know my sins. And so I need to be able to talk to God. But they said, we're going to go stand over here. You just tell us what he said. The whole point was so that they could see that Moses was the man God chose. And they stood off. Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Verse 22, the Lord said to Moses, thus thou shalt say, children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. And then he tells them, building an altar. And the interesting thing about building an altar is he says, I don't want it to be an altar that you carve out. If it's wood, use earthly products. If it's stone, I don't want you to shape it. You put the stone there unshaped by man. He said, I made it that way. It has beauty as it is. Think about that. It has beauty as it is. It has glory as it is. Lift no tool upon it. Verse 25. If thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. As soon as you touch it, it's ruined. He says in verse 24, thou shalt make unto me and shalt sacrifice thereon burnt offerings, peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen, in all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. So he introduces the idea here of organized sacrifice. We had Adam and Eve right in the garden. There was a sacrifice. We had other sacrifices along the way, right? Passover. But now he solidifies it and he says, everywhere you go, there's an organized way to do this. But when you do that, you are expressing your faith. When you do that, you are confessing your sin. And when you do that, I'll bless you. Expressing our faith and confessing our sin. And the way we can confess our sin is because there's a law that exposes our sin. There's a difference between what the Bible says sometimes and the standards we have. Some churches have created stricter standards and some looser standards. But the standard on Judgment Day will be God's standard. And so we best make sure that's what we know and live by. Comments, questions? Sister Tammy. Yeah. And sometimes what happens is we become familiar. We become familiar in God's, you know. I heard a person one time refer to Jesus as my brother Jesus. And to God as my daddy. We can become too familiar and lose our respect. God. And in 90 days time, the water parts, every morning they go out and gather the manna that God provides, the evening, the quail. God continues to provide all of this stuff for them, but we've become comfortable. Remember the first time, we won't go too far, but the first time you kind of fell in love with your spouse. You saw them, maybe, I don't know, they swept you off your feet, however you want to say it. And you thought, wow. Right? Isn't that what Jacob did when he saw Rachel? He saw Leah and he said, whoa. He woke up that morning after. Hey, hold on, wrong wife. There was a wow factor. And when the Red Sea parted, there was a wow factor. And then they got a grumbling. And God said, okay, well, I'll give you food. And they tasted it. They said, well, that tastes like honey. Like the first morning, it was really good. third, fourth day, it's like, you got any cornflakes? Something different? Right? And then we go on to the water coming out of a rock. Incredible. Wow. But with each one, it kind of gets, oh, well, you know, we knew it could do that. But yeah, that's a great point. Is there's the mountain, this wonderful, awesome mountain, and God just rocks the whole thing. And the lightning and the thunder and the smoke and the fire. And they said, yeah, we get it. Wow. But that's way too much power for us, because we know we're going to mess that up somehow. Right? We will mess it up. God says, don't even touch the mountain. We're going to go over there. We don't want to get close. But yeah, great point. Take a break.